Geek Radio Daily for not Monday, which is good. And if the levels I'm looking at right now are any indication, I might have solved a volume thing that's been an issue for a bit. That's right, GRD. The quality concerns never stop. We keep trying because we keep screwing it up, but we keep trying, damn it! And we appreciate you being here. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing it to you today. Well, the man that if you saw him over his 3-day weekend. Was probably a little hammered. That there is podcasting for Siegfried.
You are my best friend.
Which he said to everybody, even the folks that just walked up he had never seen before. And me, I'm the guy that keeps trying to talk to people with a different opinion and showing them facts and telling them this is how the world works. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Once again, it's confirmed. I am absolutely stupid.
As you shouldn't even try. What happened today, sir?
Well, in 1868, French astronomer Pierre-Jules-César Janssen discovers helium in the solar spectrum during an eclipse. It marks the first discovery of an extraterrestrial element since helium hadn't yet been discovered on Earth.
A weather balloon element. 1947, 9 years after selling their first oscillators out of a garage in Palo Alto, California, William Hewlett and David Packard incorporate Hewlett-Packard Company. Hey, come get an O-scope from us.
1949, the first filmed recording of CBS color television is made in Washington, D.C. using a U.S. Navy-designed Burnt Maurer camera.
1951, the first transcontinental wireless phone call is made from San Francisco by Mark Sullivan, president of PT&T, to H.T. Killingworth of AT&T in New York City. Well, they were different TNT rivalries? That's weird.
And Killingworth wasn't a part of the one that stuck around? Oh, no, wait, he was. 1956, the Alexander Graham Bell Museum opens in Baddeck, Nova Scotia.
1960, Collins Radio, a manufacturer of aviation and information systems, successfully transmits a photograph via satellite from its headquarters in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Same day, same year, the Discover XIV becomes the first satellite to be ejected from an orbiting space vehicle, and it will later become the first satellite to be recovered in mid-air.
1968, the very first official Gen Con is held at the Horticultural Hall in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Somewhere between 50 and 100 people attend. Over the coming years, it'll evolve into one of the largest, most prominent gaming conventions in North America, which in a few years from now, you'll be able to see again.
1976, the Soviet Union's Luna 24, or Lunik 24, space probe soft lands on the moon in the Mare Crisium, or Sea of Crisis. It is the last of the Luna series and the third to collect lunar soil samples.
1982, Atari announces it has obtained exclusive global rights to market video games based on the movie E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Their first attempt is one of the biggest flops in video game history. And if you watch My Blue Heaven, apparently the game had the soundtrack from Pac-Man.
1993, Atari first announces the Jaguar 64-bit video game system at a press conference held at the company's headquarters in Sunnyvale, California.
We're going to make people forget all about the time we told them about E.T. 1995, New Line Cinema releases the fantasy film Mortal Kombat, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, starring Christopher Lambert, Robin Sho, Lyndon Ashby, Kerry Hiwoka Tagara, Brigitte Wilson, and Talisa Soto.
Wait. Who's the best? Am I the best?
I am the best!
All right, fair enough. 2003, Adobe first releases the newly purchased Cool Edit Pro 2.0 as Adobe Edition after purchasing it from Centrillium Software in May 2003. This initial version of Adobe Edition is largely unchanged, but additional features will be added to version 1.5, which will be released in May of 2004.
And Cool Edit 2 is awesome. This show wouldn't exist without it. 2005, NASA decides to push the launch date of the next shuttle mission to March 2006 and reassign it from Atlantis to Discovery. The purpose is to test new safety and repair techniques and to deliver equipment and European Space Agency astronaut Thomas Reiter from Germany to the International Space Station.
Same day, same year, Upper Deck Entertainment, they can't be happy with that company name, announces the World of Warcraft trading card game, based on Blizzard Entertainment's Mamorpig World of Warcraft. In this trading card game, or TCG, each player uses a hero card in a deck consisting of allies and other supporting cards. In booster and starter packs, gamers can find cards representing weapons, abilities, armor, items, and quests.
Their original name was Floater Entertainment. 2006, the fantasy film The Illusionist, directed by Neil Burger, starring Edward Norton, Paul Giamatti, Jessica Biel, Rufus Sewell, Eddie Marsden, and Eleanor Tomlinson is released.
2008, Dell's attempt to trademark the term cloud computing is refused.
2010, Facebook unveils a location sharing places platform that will allow users to announce their location via the social network, which is exactly why you shouldn't get a vaccine, because, They'll track you.
We're kidding. Get a vaccine when it comes out. Just maybe not the first run.
Birthdays?
Andy Samberg is 42 from The Lonely Island, SNL, Hot Rod, and of course, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Caitlin Olsen is 45. That's Sweet D and Always Sunny. The Mick, Finding Dory, and if you have Quibi, she's on Flipped.
I've heard she has a bird face. Malcolm Jamal Warner, 46. Theo on Cosby Show. Malcolm and Eddie. Jeremiah. American Crime Story, The Resident, and had a lot of really good appearances wearing very unique sweaters on Community.
Christian Slater is 51 from Heather's, Fern Gully, The Underappreciated Breaking In, and Mr. Robot.
Well, we don't mention Cuffs. Goodness.
I think he paid us a lot not to.
Oh, fair enough. Oddly enough, Jack Nicholson was the one who paid us for that. Edward Norton is 51 from Primal Fear, People vs. Larry Flint, Incredible Hulk, and that other movie that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, you know, the one that's not The Prestige. Brian Michael Bendis is 53. He wrote Ultimate Spider-Man, House of M, Secret Invasion, tons of stuff you love.
Jim Florentine, 56. Special Ed on Crank Anchors.
Craig Bierko is 56 from The Long Kiss Goodnight, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, 13th Floor, Boston Legal.
Glenn Plummer is 59 from Menace to Society, Showgirls, and Day After Tomorrow. That's a hell of a pendulum of a career.
Martin Mull is 77 from Fernwood Tonight, Clue, Roseanne, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and of course, The Cool Kids.
That's another guy who's had a hell of a career.
And in a different universe, he would have been a watcher for Buffy.
Ooh. I don't know about that. That would be a very different show. No longer with us born this day in 1834, Marshall Field, American businessman, founded Marshall Fields.
1920, Shelley Winters in The Poseidon Adventure, Lolita, Peach Dragon.
1926, John P. Finnegan, Warren T. Ratt in American Tale and JFK. Yes, he played the same character.
1935, Gail Fisher from Mannix, and of course is the first black woman to ever win a Golden Globe Award.
And 1952, Patrick Swayze from Red Dawn, Roadhouse, Ghost, Point Break, Donnie Darko, and of course, once stole a job from Chris Farley.
True fact. It was so close. So close.
On CBS, we've got a rerun of NCIS, FBI, and CBS News, the 2020 America Decides, the Democratic Convention.
ABC, a rerun of Modern Family, a rerun of Modern Family, a new What Would You Do, and the Democratic National Convention.
NBC live show number 2 on a new America's Got Talent and NBC News special 2020 Democratic Convention.
On Fox, a rerun of Hell's Kitchen, a rerun of Prodigal Son, and they don't care about conventions.
On Fox, well, you already did that one. Yeah. I got confused because it didn't have the Democratic Convention after it. CW, new Dead Pixels, rerun of Whose Line Is It Anyway? Jordan is forced to act on his own when law enforcement fails to act on Tell Me a Story.
Freeform is showing Wonder. It's nothing to do with Natalie Merchant. Nothing.
Aw. AMC has The Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift.
Arguably the best film in the entire series. I don't know. FX has Truth or Dare. I mean, everyone picks Dare. What's the point?
FXX, Simpsons Marathon, Yokel Chords, Homerazzi, and The Boys of Bummer.
FXM, Annihilation! Another Mortal Kombat thing? What? I don't know.
NGC has Search for Cleopatra on a new Lost Treasures of Egypt.
BBC America, Escape Plan!
And the one with,
Yeah. Your boy. Not your other boy, but your boy. And then one guy who hangs out with your boy. Other than that, they're totally different. Paramount Network's got Shooter. And since you've gone away, the Sci-Fi Channel has Anaconda. CBS with The Best in Show off on a new Celebrity Show off. We're watching the Hallmark Channel because a man and woman must attend the same 4 weddings 4 weekends in a row. So to avoid any setups, they'd go together as friends. But what started as a simple friendship between them turns into something deeper. Kimberly Sustard and Paul Campbell star in Wedding every weekend.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Madeline makes a valiant attempt to create a semblance of a normal home life when juvenile authorities investigate to find out whether her nephew Chad is growing up in a proper environment. I mean, motorcycle jumps and showgirls seem pretty normal to me, but Madeline knows the man will not see it that way. And when it comes to Chad, they want to know who's watching the kids. But when Chad see Dad run, it was obvious he would have some arrested development. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
Good morning, GRD. I can only attribute this guest to my Google Foo, but I believe Chad and Abby are on. I've never even heard of the show, probably for obvious reasons, but this should be spinoffs. Oh, and sorry for bouncing out of the game Friday night. I had joined through my phone and it wouldn't let me answer the questions. Not sure why. Have a good week. Glad you're back from vacation. That is from Jared in Anaheim. Well, thank you, Jared. And I was wondering who that was. So if you come play Jackbox with us in your phone and there's no questions popping up, if you back out and come back in, basically refresh, a lot of times that fixes it, which you'll have a chance to find out when you play with us. Well, if you play with Mark and everybody tomorrow night, because last night's was fun, or with us this Friday night, not forgetting that we're playing poker on Saturday as well. So many things are happening. Well, now we have a message from Mark, and if you remember, Mark likes to explain to you exactly what all the clues were and how he reaches that conclusion and says, spells it all out. But essentially, he got it right. So congratulations to the two of you, and I really thought this one was going to be tougher. I guess we'll see what next week brings. Dun, dun, dun. Your Google Foo will be my undoing. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send us a voice message. Type us something up as a text. Just use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
Refresh the phones!
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Hello, this is Master Shake, the ruler of your face. Whenever I don't listen to podcasts, I'm sure it would be Geek Radio Daily. I put the geek in geek.
And it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same at all without it. There's nothing you can do.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, that's debatable. Let's find out what's available on the shelves today, sir.
Well, on our TVL, we've got Cursed Films, Season 1.
Okay, Exorcist, Poltergeist, what else you get? SWAT, Season 3. That would be the new one, I imagine.
I put Blood Rain, Postal up there as well. The Terror, in Infamy.
Batwoman, the complete first season, because there will be a second?
Here's to hoping. From Must Be Anime, based on title alone, we have Ensemble Stars, Part 1.
From our re-release department, yes, we have Gordon, the Queen's favorite film in a beautifully new remastered Uber as 4K as you can possibly make an HD edition.
We've also got Gamera, the complete collection.
He's really neat. He's filled with turtle meat. In our regular movies department, we have Military Wives.
Those Who Deserve to Die. Not anything to deal with the Military Wives. We should have reordered that.
The Outpost, which is where the Military Wives go when the people say they deserve to die and they make their final stand and kick everyone's ass because they're part of the old guard.
Fair enough. Deathstroke, Knights and Dragon.
But today we're getting the story that's set on the canals amid the glorious British countryside where two sisters and their boyfriends head off for a relaxing weekend away on a barge, unaware of the flesh-eating fish mutants lurking under the water ready and waiting to feed. Katie Davies speak and Mark McCurdy star in The Barge People.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view. Now, this weekend, you might have heard this crazy Star Wars rumor about a Ben Solo project being developed at Lucasfilm. That rumor comes from the folks over at Kessel Run Transmission, specifically a tweet by Corey Van Dyke. However, the report was sort of backed up by a supporting tweet from industry insider Jordan Mason.
Brooding emo Jedis in training? Oh, I guess this is Twilight of the Force.
Now, honestly, this seems like unlikely, especially if we're talking live action, because Adam Driver's not in a hurry to come back and play Ben Solo again in more movies or Disney Plus shows. So if this is happening, it's got to be animated. And, you know, fans are hungry for animated shows that deal with Luke and Ben's adventures prior to the night Luke considered killing him.
Well, that's one episode. Movie.
Lucasfilm hasn't given any hint to the project yet, but if it's animated, as the source says, there's multiple projects being developed and they don't have specific details on, so it's possible we're already in early development here.
I'd be content with more of his undercover boss hijinks.
It would be really interesting to learn more about Luke's attempt at rebuilding the Jedi and how it all goes so horribly wrong. Then young Ben drifts through the verse and ends up making the wrong sort of friends. Plus, Plus, I want this to be true so I can hear the Max Rebo Band cover the song Ben. Or Cats in the Cradle.
Oscar nominee Daniel Kaluuya, who faces the racist horrors of suburbia in Get Out and weathered Wakanda's superpowered royal strife in Black Panther, is set to take place in an adaptation of a highly buzzed YA fantasy novel by debut author Femi Fadugba.
He looks a bit old for that, don't you think?
The book, The Upper World, isn't even out yet, but it's the first in a trilogy, which means if the film's a hit, there'll be plenty of follow-up source material. And the premise of the Netflix movie certainly sounds so. Iso is caught in a deadly feud and on the verge of expulsion when he realizes he has an unexpected gift. Access to a world where he can see glimpses of the past and the future. A generation away, Rhea is walking to football practice in 2035, unaware that the mysterious stranger she's about to meet desperately needs her to avert a bullet fired 15 years ago.
Timey-wimey, the movie!
Kaluuya is set to play the gifted Iso, who is also a producer on the project. Fadugba is a physicist, in addition to being a fiction writer, and his own unique background informs the Upper World story. In a statement, the author remarked that, "Throughout my life, I've lived in places like Kigali, Somerset, Oxford, and Philadelphia, which has always made me wonder, how do I reconcile these contrasting environments I grew up in with each other? Then one day came a mad realization that I could combine the story of a kid from South London with the physics of time travel, and maybe even make it gripping enough that the nerds, the hustlers, the jocks, and the rest of us in between would all want to read it." And he, of course, signed the statement, "Sincerely, the Time Traveling Breakfast Club."
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, the Zuck, has made it no secret he wants all of the company's app to be one big happy family. But that's easier said than done, especially considering that many people who use Instagram, Facebook's one shining universal success, don't want to go anywhere near the big blue app. It may be a little bit harder to stay away from in the future, though. They're coming for you.
They're combining? Well, like Instabook, Facegram, Instaface? Man, I really wish we would have gotten, like, Meow Meow Beans, or at least my face in a book.
Over the weekend, Facebook apparently began rolling out an update that integrates its Instagram and Facebook Messenger chat system in the U.S. The new integration was announced quietly via a cheerful pop-up message that appeared to users when they opened Instagram on their phones on iOS or Android, and got this, there's a new way to message on Instagram.
I was hoping that meant semaphore flags.
It also described the new features that would accompany this integration. That includes a new colorful look for your chats, the ability to react with any emoji, the ability to swipe to reply to messages, and the possibility of chatting with people who use Facebook.
Still waiting on that thumbs down, Facebook.
For those of you who are alarmed, don't fear. At least, not right away. Facebook is apparently not forcing users to upgrade to Instagram immediately. It's not clear how long users will be able to delay this integration, though it stands to reason that they'll probably be forced to sometime eventually.
Facebook, do it our way or go f*** yourself.
However, if these features do sound interesting and you do decide to upgrade, you'll see the Instagram typical DM icon in the upper right corner of the app has changed. It's been replaced with the Messenger logo, except for the colors, which fit with the Instagram design.
Facebook, we hope you don't pay attention.
While I'm sure that people are not going to like seeing Messenger's flagship icon in the corner always reminding them of what their favorite app now is belongs to Facebook, but after a while, they're going to get over it. Facebook is just that entwined into our lives, for better or worse, which may be why Zuckerberg, the Zuck, announced a new campaign to get new users. Facebook! One of us. One of us.
One of us.
Archaeologists from South Africa have uncovered rudimentary beds that early humans made by placing bundles of grass onto a layer of ash. Sounds basic, but these Stone Age beds were more sophisticated than they appear at first glance.
Tech didn't just start at the Flintstones level. We had to work our way up to that, or fall to there from the Jetsons' utopia.
We report the discovery of grass bedding used to create comfortable areas for sleeping and working by people who lived in Border Cave at least 200,000 years ago, declared the authors of a new report.
What did they use for a snooze button? I bet it was Ocula Dentavis. You're welcome, paleontologists.
Butchered bones, stone tools, and cave paintings obviously provide a glimpse into Paleolithic existence. But there's so much about Stone Age peoples we don't know, including some of the more mundane aspects of daily life. Without the requisite evidence, however, archaeologists can't jump to conclusions. Plant material doesn't preserve well over vast timescales, highlighting the importance of the new evidence found at Border Cave.
I understand that they used to use an octopus to help clean their dishes.
As the authors hypothesize in the study, the people who lived in Border Cave used bundles of this grass.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
Interestingly, the grass was placed atop layers of ash. This likely provided added comfort in a clean, insulating surface. But as the authors point out in the study, the ash offered certain protection as well, because several ethnographies report that ash repels crawling insects, which cannot easily move through fine powder because it blocks their breathing and biting apparatus and eventually leaves them dehydrated.
Which made it real easy to clean up with the help of your baby elephant vacuum cleaner.
The researchers also found traces of burned camphor wood. The smoke from this aromatic medicinal plant is known to repel flying insects, and it may have been used for this purpose in Border Cave.
Tiki torches on turtles was brilliant until the racist tortoises started using them.
Clearly, getting rid of troublesome pests was a regular pastime for these Paleolithic humans. Not only that, it seems they got pretty good at it, finding innovative ways to keep their dwellings free of creepy crawlies. As this research shows, wanting and maintaining a comfy, well-kept bed is a timeless activity. Though the less you ask about the nightmare that was their memory foam, the better.
On August 13th, the terms Morty and Dan Harmon were trending on Twitter due to the resurfacing of Daryl, an offensive comedy sketch that Rick and Morty co-creator Dan Harmon made for Channel 101 in 2009. Criticism of this particular sketch is not new. It's attracted mass controversy when it resurfaced online in July of 2018. Harmon and Adult Swim addressed this controversy and apologized for it back then. But once again, the sketch is trending, this time with the QAnon-related accounts disingenuously trying to connect the sketch's offensive content to broader conspiracy theories about pedophilia in Hollywood.
Meeting them head-on, charging into them like a bull. That's how we grow as people.
Now, Daryl's meant to be a parody of the Showtime series Dexter, and the premise was essentially that instead of punishing serial killers by murdering them, Daryl would travel back in time and sexually assault serial killers' children. The sketch showed Harmon, who played the titular character, simulating the rape of these children on a doll.
If I let you make me nervous, then we can't get swifty.
During the initial wave of backlash when this video resurfaced, Harmon responded with a statement that read, "In 2009, I made a pilot which strove to parody the series Dexter and only succeeded in offending. I quickly realized the content was way too distasteful and took the video down immediately. Nobody should ever have to see what you saw, and for that, I sincerely apologize."
How many of these are just horrible mistakes I made? I mean, maybe I'd stop making so many if I let myself learn from them.
Adult Swim also responded with remarks essentially condemning the video, but supporting Harmon as a creator and speaking to how much he's changed since then. The reason the sketch resurfaces, you know, QAnon-related accounts are posting it. QAnon conspiracy theorists have been using the hashtag, #SaveTheChildren, on Twitter to give their fringe beliefs a more mainstream appealing bent. QAnon weaponizes legitimate concerns about child trafficking and uses these concerns as a means to spread wild conspiracy theories and rampant misinformation.
If you spend all day shuffling words around, you can make anything sound bad. Hey, at least I'm not the one who wished Ghislaine Maxwell well.
The previous controversy over the Daryl skit happened in the immediate aftermath of James Gunn's temporary firing from Disney based on trolls digging up decade-old offensive tweets. After that apparent victory, they were emboldened and dug into the dirty laundry of other celebrities critical of Trump on social media. While certainly both Gunn and Harmon deserved criticism for the offensive jokes in question, the honest criticism in both Gunn and Harmon's cases got drowned out by politically motivated attacks.
What up, my glib glumps?
Harmon's old sketch from 2009 is certainly an offensive attempt at comedy. It's called the GRD of comedy. They understandably leaves people with a bad taste in their mouth. Even with Harmon's apology, it's understandable if people just learning about it now find themselves more uncomfortable with Harmon's work in general. You don't have to love it, and I hate to break it to you, but what people call love is just a chemical reaction that compels animals to breed. It hits hard, then it slowly fades, leaving you stranded in a failing marriage. I did it! Your parents are gonna do it! Break the cycle! Rise above! Focus on science! GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. It's done by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
This is the weirdest Valentine card you ever gave me, Rick.
You know, when I say I'm Pickle Rick, it's not a euphemism. I swear to God, it's not a euphemism.
How would that be a euphemism? What do you mean?
Drop us a note, please. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Send a voicemail, send a text message, include your name on those. Just use the magic number.
510-GRD.
I need to get me some nugget sauce.
Good talking.
child.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
Listen, ladies, it's been real and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Wadsworth, am I right in thinking there is nobody else in this house?
No.
Then there is someone else in this house.
No, sorry, I said no meaning yes.
No meaning yes? Look, I want a straight answer. Is there someone else or isn't there, yes or no?
No.
No, there is or no, there isn't?
Yes.
Please! Don't you think we should get that man out of the house before he finds out what's been going on here?
Yeah.
How can we throw him outside in this weather?
If we let him stay in the house, he may get suspicious.
If we throw him out, he may get even more suspicious.
If I were him, I'd be suspicious already.
Oh, who cares? That guy doesn't matter. Let him stay locked up for another half an hour. The police will be here by then, and there are two dead bodies in the study.
Shh. Well, there is still some confusion as to whether or not there's anybody else in this house.
I told you there isn't.
There isn't any confusion or there isn't anybody else?
Either. Or both.
Just give me a clear answer.
Certainly. What was the question?
Is there anybody else in the house?
No!